I know afternoon, and I know I want to try to be not so long. 149th chapter of the book of Psalms. One verse, if you'll stand in reverence to God's Word. And I want to move in the same line as last night, but in a different context of it. Amen. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let me read it one more time before you sit down, because some of you will close your Bible, and this will be the only time you look at this verse the rest of the afternoon. I'm not trying to be mean, but you do that. You sit down, and then you close your Bible for some reason. But let me read it again for all you Bible closers. And let me read it again for all you that have no Bible. All right? Let me read it for you. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God anoint, help me as I stand behind this pulpit. I know the awesome responsibility, and I am grateful for the presence of the Lord and the blessings of the Lord and what you have done around these altars, O Lord. But to now is another service, another time, another sermon, Lord. And I pray that as we break the bread of life, that you would anoint this vessel of clay that's inadequate, insufficient, and in need of thine anointing. Give me clarity of thought, Lord. Arrest the attention of your people, Lord, and speak individually as only you can. Blanket over this place now, and Lord, let us step in holy ground, and let us receive from you. Illuminate thy word, and speak to us, Lord, that we may leave your house stronger than we came, and we'll give the glory, the honor, and the praise to you and you alone, for we ask it in Jesus' name, and the church said, and amen. You may be seated. Last night I preached on, and I'm not going to re-preach it, but as interceding and even travailing in prayer, the great weapon of intercessory prayer. And I want to talk this afternoon on another weapon that I think sometimes I've neglected a lot. Because I concentrate on prayer, I've kind of left praise alone. Maybe because of some things too, the abuse of it and some of the things I've seen, but I've kind of, and just recently the Lord gave me this message, that there is the high praises of God, that there is a level of praise and worship that is a weapon in the hand of God. Just the same way as travailing and interceding in prayer, there is a level of praise that becomes a great weapon in the hand of God. Come on now. And I want to talk to you about this kind, this level of praise. Notice what it says here. Let the high praises of God. Now, let me backtrack just a second and just show you praise for a second here. 150th Psalm verse 6 says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. God commands praise. God says, let everything that have breath praise ye the Lord. He goes on to say, let the sun, the moon, the stars, the angels, the heavens, the water, the mountains, the hills, all of God's creation praises Him. He goes on to say, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. He says, lift up holy hands in the sanctuary, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. The Bible is full of the command of God to praise Him. It's never an option whether we should praise God or not. It's really a commandment. Hallelujah. All of creation is commanded to to praise Him, and they do. You and I, who are the redeemed, washed in the blood, should have fully praised Him, because we understand redemption and mercy. Hallelujah. And so let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and your testimony, or you will sing the song of the redeemed. Hallelujah. I hear the psalmist said, He give us a song in the night. There is power in praise. But that's not the level of praise I want to talk about. Because there's praise where we just kind of generically, fleshly praise God. Amen. We offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And I think some people literally take that verse literally every time it's a sacrifice for them. Because they seem to quote it quite a bit. Let's offer to God a sacrifice of praise. And I want to holler, it's not a sacrifice for me today. Now yesterday, yeah. But not today. Not every day is it a sacrifice. Not every day do I have to struggle to praise Him, but sometimes I do. And most of the time, not most of the time, but all of the time, I start in the flesh. And I have to grow and move forward in the Spirit. Can you say amen? Some people say, well, if I don't feel like praising Him, I just won't. That's why we don't. You're wrong in that attitude. You have the same attitude in prayer. If I don't feel an unction, I don't pray. You're wrong in that. Because commandments are not options or suggestions. They're commandments. And so we're to praise God. So I'm not talking about the praise we give to God on a Sunday morning or praise we give to God Wednesday night. What I want to talk about is high praise, and that's praise that's orchestrated by God. It's a spontaneous, Spirit-led praise. There isn't no worship team leading it. There isn't nobody trying to say, come on, lift your hands, let's get in the Spirit. This comes strictly from the throne of God. It's orchestrated by God, and it doesn't take much stimulating to get even the deadest of the dead to praise Him when the Spirit of God is in the house like that. Come on now. Notice what it says, let the high praises of God, not the praises of you, the high praises of God. That means this praise originates from God. God orchestrates this. Amen. It is spontaneous. It is not scripted. It's not something that is orchestrated by you and I. It's not something of the flesh. It is strictly by the Spirit of the Lord. He's the author of it. Can you say amen? When we have those moments when God has stepped in, and the Bible says He inhabits the praises of His children. So nowhere in the Bible does it say like that. Where God steps in, He's there, He's always present, but He inhabits. In other words, He comes down and just kind of moves in with us. He becomes stronger, hallelujah, in our praise. Praise moves God. Can you say amen? Now when I got to looking at this, I thought to myself, and maybe you don't ask God questions, I do. I said to the Lord, why do you really need praise? You know who you are. You exist without us. You're God. Why is there this thing called praise? You don't command anything that doesn't have some kind of spiritual value. Amen. And I thought to myself, Lord, you don't need anybody to remind you who you are. You're not egotistic. He's not on some PR campaign. Can you say amen? But He must value praise to such a level, because the Bible says He has cherubims that He has created, that all they do around the throne is cry, holy, holy, holy. Now they don't have to cry holy because God has to remind Himself He's holy. Nor do they have to cry holy to remind all heaven that God is holy. There is a dynamic spiritual meaning behind that. There is power in the high praises of God. Come on now. Stay with me just a few more minutes. Well, little more than just a few. Let the high, everybody say high praises. In other words, this is a level that's beyond the flesh. It's a level beyond your understanding. It's a higher form of praise than you're used to. It's not just normal praise. It's not just a normal lift your hand up, well, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right, I'll sit down now. It's not just singing a song in three verses and let's sit down and call that praise. Come on now. You know, let's face it, come on now, you can admit it, you're amongst good folks, will not squeal on you. Your pastor's probably here, but he already knows it anyhow. There are times when you praise God and you didn't feel nothing. You're just going through the motions, kind of like wooden Indians, robot kind of. Song leaders say, lift your hands, sit down, stand up. Lift your hands, sit down, stand up. Lift your hands. I like things that are spontaneous. And I kind of like worship when God takes over. And I kind of like it when somebody has enough gumption and enough of God that I don't got to tell them what to do. It just comes natural, like breathing. Can you say amen? Their hand automatically goes up because that's what they do. Their DNA, their makeup is to worship God. The Spirit in them worships God. And because they're full of the Spirit and led by the Spirit, hallelujah, they show the evidence of a Spirit-filled believer full of the power of God because they worship God. Huh? Come on now. Amen. Well, I'm not an emotional being. Oh, yes, you are. God made you emotional. God gave you emotions. You may not be loud. You may not act like I do. Thank God. But you will share emotion. You will express something. And I said, oh, folks, I don't care. You don't got to be loud. You can be quiet. I just want to see something. You know what I'm saying? I just want you to respond to God so that God can respond to your worship and inhabit our service. Oh, you don't hear me? Well, God's here anyhow. He'll just bless us in spite of ourselves. No, He won't. He inhabits the praises of His children. Draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to you. Can you say amen? Oh, yes, He's there. He's an ever-present help, and He's always there. But as you respond, He responds back. And as you worship, that's how He inhabits that worship service. Can you shout hallelujah? So you need to take yourself out of the flesh and begin to say, Lord, teach me how to praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Let's look at this verse again. Let the high praises of God. God orchestrates this kind of praise. Now notice where it's at. Let the high praises of God be where? In their mouth. It's God's praise, but He's put it in your mouth. Oh, I don't read anywhere and it says, let the high praises of God be in the mouth and let them have lockjaw. Or let them shut it up and it blow up in them. No, if it's in your mouth, guess what it ought to come out of? So there ought to be an expression. If God put high praises in your mouth, there ought to be something come out. Like so, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I have to teach you. Glory to God. Huh? And you ought to get to the place to where God moves on you and that praise just becomes a habit. Becomes natural. Come on now. Like a fish in the water, like a bird in the air, a Spirit-filled Christian ought to feel comfortable in the presence of Almighty God. Can you say amen? Oh, well, I don't have much to do with this service. I'm just sitting in the pew. Oh, you've got a thing or two to learn, don't you? You've got a whole lot to add to the atmosphere of your church, to the environment of your church. Matter of fact, it's probably in the condition it's in because of you and my fault. Amen. We can enhance it and raise it a little higher. I want to raise it a little higher. I want the high praises of God to be in my mouth. Amen. Then look what happens here. He says, then a two-edged sword is in your hand. In other words, as you praise God and God gives you this praise, then all of a sudden the word of the Lord comes. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of worship and praise to where He's taking to that level and you're worshiping God and praising God, and then all of a sudden here comes a word and you're declaring something. Thus saith the Lord, the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Prophesying the word of the Lord. He puts a two-edged sword in your hand. Like I said, this is a praise that comes from the Spirit of God. As I said last night, Paul said, let us pray in the with our own understanding, sing with our own understanding, but then he said, let us pray in the Spirit and sing in the Spirit. That's where this high praise comes in. You have been in Pentecost long enough, some of you, that you have heard somebody sing in the Spirit. You've been in it long enough to know when it's God. He has taken over a worship service. And there is a spirit of worship and a spirit of an attitude of worship in the house. God has stepped in somehow and got in a song somehow or stepped in. Don't ask me how the mechanics of it totally. But He just kind of stepped in. Suddenly we're singing a song and we're just kind of going through the motions and we're lift our hands and look around and see cobwebs and just kind of, well, we just kind of there. And then all of a sudden, God, it's not that God just arrived. It's just all of a sudden we become more sensitive and God has stepped in because there's something to be done in the heavenlies and there's a spiritual battle that needs to be done and God needs the weapon of praise. So He begins to look over that congregation to find a vessel that He can put praise in their mouth. Can you say amen? Oh, that's when it just flows like a river. You don't got to work it up. There ain't no hype. It just come like a surfer on a wave. It just come like a cook in a kitchen. It just comes natural like a baker with an oven. It just comes natural. That kind of high praise, every song leader loves it. You don't got to work nothing. It's already there. Oh my, it is there. They're lifting their hands. They're worshiping God because God has stepped in. But I found this to be, when God steps in, He has a reason. It's not just to bless you or to bless Him. It's not that He's egotistic, but He's got a warfare going on. And there's a battle. And praise is a weapon. And He's supernaturally desiring to rule and reign. And He needs someone to praise Him so He can use that weapon. Pen. Come on now. The same way as you are moved by God to pray, as I preached last night, you're moved by God to worship in this degree. And the same way, as I said, we've lost the travailing in spirit, we've lost this praise too. We've lost this somewhere. We've lost it. We don't let God spontaneously. We have a knee-jerk reaction to it. And I understand, I've been in it long enough, I've seen the flaky too and the squirrely too. I've seen those that were not in God do things that was not God. But that don't stop this verse, nor stop the purpose of God. Can you say amen? So let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand. It sounds like this ain't going to be a picnic. This sounds like, hallelujah, we singing and cutting heads off at the same time. Huh? We're praising God and going after the devil. Huh? So see, praise, what does praise do? It don't lift God up, it lifts you up. When the psalmist said, oh, let us magnify the Lord, I thought for a long time, how do you magnify someone that's big? Amen. He don't need magnified. What he said was, let our vision of him be magnified. Can you say amen? God is as big as he will be. You can't extend him. He's as powerful as he's going to be. You're not going to do less of that. But your insight, your focus needs to be enlarged. That's why the psalmist said, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. How does God get blessed? Does God send in a prayer line and say, bless me tonight? Does God speak down from the throne and say, I'm a little discouraged, I'm having a little problem with some of these Arabs down here in Iran? Amen. Somebody praise me and encourage me. No, God don't need that. God is God. So there has to be a reason that he commands praise to lift me up, to lift my vision up, to lift my spirit up, to cause my spirit to get one with him, that something can be done in the heavenlies. And so when we praise God, things happen. When we sing the songs of Zion, something happens. When we sing there's power in the blood, something ought to happen. We're not just singing to sing our Frank Sinatra or Tony Bennett. We're singing spiritual songs. We're singing to the Lord. He's inhabiting the praises of his children. That's why gospel music and music that we sing, the hymns and gospel, have power behind it, because there's a living force, a living anointing behind that song. Come on now. Amen. And it ministers to the spirit and soul and flesh of a person. That's why our song services should be more ministering to us. Song leaders, let me give you a few advice here. Brother Lombard gave me the best advice years ago. Between him and Brother Larson were probably the two best song leaders I ever sat under. And Brother Longmark said, you can take a dead man and put him on the fastest train in the world, but when you stop the train, he's still dead. Brother Larson said, you can take him and put him in the fastest jet, but if he's dead, he's dead. And when you land, it's still dead. You've got to find out where God's at. And whether it's slow, medium, or fast, it's all right. But you can sing it fast and God not be close by. You can sing it slow and not be close by. You song leaders got to put your temperament on the side. I don't care if you like fast songs all the time. You're not a very good complete song leader if your repertoire just has fast songs. God can only use you when he wants to move fast. Maybe that's why some of you don't get used much, because you have kind of narrowed yourself down to a specializing song leader. I had a song leader that only knew 4 songs. How in the world could I use the man? He wouldn't learn no more than 4 songs, so I could only use them once in a while on a Wednesday night when we felt like singing them 4 songs. I said, then he got mad, you don't want to use me. I said, well, learn a few more songs. Open up the song book. If you don't know them, sing it out of there. Oh, well, get your, expand yourself. You can't expect God's people. You're a worship leader. You're not a specialist. You're not going to sing a special. You're supposed to lead them into worship. And it's always easier. The anointing will build. Amen. And you don't have to worry. If you start out slow and God wants to go fast, don't worry. We'll get there. But it's harder when you go fast and put the brakes on and shift the emergency brake and roar. And it don't take much spiritual sense to follow along if you're leading in an altar call. If you're an organist, a piano player, a song leader, or someone get up to sing at the altar time, it don't take much to understand what has he preached. God will confirm the word, so there's songs that go with it. I was in West Virginia and I preached faith and miracles. And the church, man, they were shouting and having a time. And I called an altar call man to prayer line, and I'm going to anoint him with oil. And I turned and said to the pastor, get your song leader up here. Oh, man. I got down there to anoint him with oil, and he got up there and started singing Amazing Grace. You ever lay hands on people and pump them up and let's have a good old-fashioned prayer line praying to Amazing Grace? I'm laying hands on people and Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved. I'm thinking to myself, don't you understand what I just preached? Where was you at? Jesus on the main line, I said to him, that'd be a good one right now. A lot of you ain't even song leaders and you know that wasn't right. You know what I'm saying? You preach faith, lift people up, and the pastor, come on folks, let's believe God. God's able. Hand it over to the song leader, and he sings Tempted and Tested. Father alone, come on now. Get a little spiritual common sense. Huh? You got to move with God. But it's easier to move slow and work up than move up here and come on down. Because, granted, if God wants to move fast, we start with He's Lord. But we get to mainline. But it's hard to go from mainline down to He's Lord. It's always easier. It's a shock to the body to be 1 minute going, and the next minute, and the next minute, and the next minute, and the next minute. Come on now. Woo, my heart's pounding. That song leader, man, I think I might have a cardiac arrest. 1 minute he's singing fast. Glory, glory. Lay your burden down. Next song is, is there anything between me and my God or something? Let's be reverent now. All right, let's fast it back up. Huh? Come on now. But the praise I'm talking about here is a simultaneous, it's a spirit-led, it's inspired by God, and it's a warfare praise. My brother preached on warfare today, and I thought, Lord, he's going right in the message. And that's all right. Let the high praises of God be in the mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. Let me give you three illustrations in the Bible of where high praise, where God used praise as a weapon. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, God speaks to Jehoshaphat the king and says, send the singers out. Can you imagine that kind of strategy? The Moabites and the Ammonites, are vicious people. And God has said to the Haman, to the children, to the king, I want the singers to go out. Not a sword, not a spear, not a shield. Just send those singers out and let them sing praise ye the Lord for His mercy and doeth forever and ever. This kind of praise comes when God says you can do no more, and now it's in my arena and this is a spiritual battle and you need a supernatural intervention, so I'm going to give you a song and a praise that's orchestrated from me that'll lift up to the throne of heaven, that I can take it and use it, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So they sang praises to God, and God took those praises, amplified them, and brought confusion and death to the enemy's camp. So the high praise comes sometimes when God wants to bring confusion to the devil's camp. Anybody like to see the devil get confused about right now on a few assignments in your family? Anybody like to see the devil get a little befuddled in himself? Hallelujah. Anybody like to see God go before you and fight a battle that you can't fight anymore? Let God give you praise. Let God give you song. Let God give you worship. See, there's a time to pray, and then there's a time to praise. They're both supernatural. They're both from God. A time for me to travail and groan and travail in the Spirit. But usually after that time of travailing in the Spirit, after I've broken through, there's a time of high praise. Hallelujah. They kind of work together like a dynamic duo. Hallelujah. My prayer is, Lord, fight a battle. God says, give me a weapon. And suddenly out of my mouth comes the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And God says, do you hear my child down there? Hallelujah. He's declaring my greatness. He's declaring my mightiness. And God sends confusion to the devil's camp. Hallelujah. Can you imagine them singers thinking, what are we doing here? Hallelujah. Another form of time in the Bible when high praise was used. When Paul and Silas in the Philippian jail in the midnight hour, shackled and chained, and a prison door shut on them, and no breakthrough in sight. But God suddenly touches the men of God, and they feel inspired to pray. I believe they started in the flesh. And a lot of times you start in the flesh because you are flesh. But somewhere between you starting and finishing, there's a big transformation, is there not? Somewhere along the line, I'm talking about God bringing His own divine inspiration. Somewhere along the line, I'm struggling to pray and struggling to praise God. And then suddenly, I'm standing on holy ground. Suddenly, I'm engulfed with the presence of God. And in my mouth, He has put praise. And I begin to worship Him, shackled and chained by the situation. Bar doors closed, and it seemed like there's no way out. I have no answer. I have no hope. I have no joy. But somewhere in the presence of the Lord, that praise goes up, and God breaks every chain, every fetter, and opens the door that no man can shut. Can you shout hallelujah? There is power in high praise. It not only sets me free, but looses the shackles of them around me. Well, then how come it don't come all the time? I don't know. I'd like to live in it. But maybe you couldn't take it and I couldn't take it. Probably is why. Huh? You ever have a laughing spirit get on you? To where you laugh so hard you say, God, I can't take no more. You're going to have to shut this thing down. Huh? That's a high praise. Something that you didn't orchestrate. Something you didn't put on the bulletin. Well, we're going to have high praise today. No, this is orchestrated by God. Pastors, this is orchestrated by God. We can't hype it up. We can't work it up. Oh, yes, we're rah-rah cheerleaders and we try our best. But we can't move it. It's got to come from God. And God's got to find vessels that will yield, amen, to Him. Can you say amen? Oh, if He can find a vessel, hallelujah, that suddenly, amen, it starts to yield. In my congregation, I watch them, amen, bless God. And I've taught them, you know, when He moves on you, let Him move on you. When He blesses you, let Him bless you. Don't worry about what's going on. You ain't going to hinder me. I don't care if you stand up the rest of the service and bless God. I'll go on preaching. Hallelujah. I'm loud enough and I have a mic. You're not going to drown me out. And I'll just tell folks, pray for them. They're blessing God and they're getting lost in it. But folks, let's just move on. And I wish this thing get contained. contagious in the house. Can you say amen? But I've only got a few that have learned this, amen, and have allowed God to lift them to that level. Hallelujah. They feel a little funny because no one else is going that way. But I say to them, don't be ashamed of the blessing of God. If it flows out like a river, don't dam it up. Let it flow. Let other ones see the power of God, because your pastor needs it. Your pastor needs it. You must build an atmosphere for the supernatural. You must let God move through you. It'll enhance your preacher. He'll preach a whole lot better. The ministry will be a whole lot more powerful if you learn to be a vessel to praise God. Can you say amen? So the first thing, it brings confusion to the devil's camp. Second thing I found it to be, it breaks chains and bondages and opens doors where prayer doesn't seem to open it. Don't ask me why, but prayer doesn't seem to open it, and God has to get in His great toolbox and pull out the tool of prayer, praise, and say, this will unlock it. Don't ask me why God needs it, because God don't need praise. Don't ask me why He don't answer it and just let me pray and answer the prayer. Why sometimes I've got to quit praying and praise God and thank God for it, and then that opens the door. Can you say amen? Years back, a few months back, in our congregation, on a Thursday night, we had just a normal time of prayer and Bible study, like most of you do. And I took prayer requests and I said, let's kneel down to pray. And as I knelt down in the first pew to pray, the Spirit of God come in the house very strong. I could sense Him getting stronger. And I said to the Lord, Lord, they've come for Bible study and not prayer meeting. And if I stay down here, they're going to get up and some are going to leave. I just know my people well enough. The Lord said to me, you obey me and I will show you something tonight. As I started to obey Him and pray in the Holy Ghost and began to go from prayer to worship, and all of a sudden I just got lost in worshiping God. Suddenly I realized not a soul left. The door never opened and never closed. Suddenly all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, I don't know how long we prayed, but we prayed for a good while and worshiped God. And suddenly, and I mean suddenly, I'm talking, and when I say suddenly, you know, we say that evangelistic kind of suddenly, but I'm talking suddenly. All of a sudden, God fixed every problem in my church that I was counseling for a month. All the pastors here is perked up now. A lady that I've been praying for, and I anointed with oil so much she ought to have had a loop job by now. Every service she come, I anointed with oil. I prayed so much I didn't know what to pray anymore. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I was down to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. She needs a miracle. My God. You know, in the beginning I prayed a real good prayer, but man, after a while you just... and she just kept coming and kept coming. And my God, she needs a miracle. She could hardly walk and she needed a touch from God. And another sister the same way, he needed a touch from God. A young man over here was going through a custody battle. An ugly divorce. Ugly situation. And he was having a custody battle which still proceeding going on now over his little adorable daughter. And the man's heart was broken. And many a time I spent talking to him and trying to encourage him, only to have him come in the next service, be down again, try to lift him up. I couldn't seem to help him. I couldn't seem to get him out of that. But that night as we were praising God, and God stepped in and began to orchestrate the thing. Amen. Prayer went from prayer to praise. And the praise went to God. And God came down in such a powerful way. All of a sudden, I heard the sister say, she started to weep and cry, and whoo, she said, and I heard her say, the pain is gone.
Then it got stronger. And some that were just kind of playing kind of got in. And all hands were lifted. We don't got a whole lot. But man, I tell you, we were praising God. And then suddenly, all of a sudden, the other sister said, I can walk. The pain is gone out of my legs. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And then all of a sudden, this young man got to weeping and crying. And he's not very emotional. And he said, I heard him say it. He said, thank you, Jesus. You've given me strength. And God fixed every counseling problem in 15 minutes. Oh, I don't want to leave you disillusioned thinking I don't have no problems. But He solved those quickly. But what solved them was high praise. Lifting to a level where God could supernaturally move on people. Get them out of the mully grubs of a midweek service and out of the same habit, creatures of habit. We get in a habit, do we not, of just coming and it's the same old whatever. Our God ain't the same old, same old. He ain't a has been, a used to been. He's a God that's the same today as He was yesterday. He's a God that desires to move. He can move on Wednesday. He can move on Sunday morning. He can move on Sunday night. God will move if His children will let Him. But He has a criteria. Now, God moves sovereignly, whether some believe or not. I've seen Him do miracles, and there wasn't an ounce of faith in anybody. And I wondered why He ever did anything. There's a man that Pastor sent me years ago, broke his vertebrae, and man, he's a nasty man. Nasty to this day. I think he's gone now. But Pastor didn't tell me how nasty he was. I stepped in the room and I said, I was sent here from Calvary. He said, turn around and get your face out of here. I don't want to see you. I said, what? I never had anybody talk to me that way. I was the first in the ministry. So I turned around and I started walking. And finally I turned around and said, no, I've come to pray for you. And he said, you can do what you want to, but I don't want nothing to do with your God. And you tell your pastor he's a big hypocrite. I said, well, thank you, sir, but I'm not telling my pastor anything such as that. Thank you very much. And I don't care if you want nothing to do with God. I've come to pray for you. And I laid hands on that man. And that man was so resistant and so rude, so arrogant, and so saying, hurry up and get done as I was praying. Hurry up and get done. Hurry up and get done. You know what? God healed that man. I walked out of that room, and somewhere along the line that night, God healed that man, and that man was healed. He never come to church. I'd drive by his house. I'd wave. He never waved at me. We were still a bunch of hypocrites. He still didn't want nothing to do with God. And as far as I know, he died as an atheist, a sinner. Now, God can sovereignly move. I watched him. Not an ounce of faith in that man. And if I was to heal anybody, if I was God, he'd been the last one on the bottom of the list somewhere. Someone talked to me about me like that. Surely, I don't know, but that's why I'm not God. That's why God, so God, much a God of love and mercy. Can you say amen? And so praise looses the chains and fetters. Let me give you another illustration just closely here. It's 4:15. Amen, praise God. We were praising the Lord and worshiping God on a Sunday night. And the Spirit of the Lord come on me and said, call the people to pray. Don't preach tonight, we're praying. I said, we're going to pray. Amen. I said, God's presence is here and there is something going on in our town. We need to pray. And they know well enough, and so they gathered around to pray. I crawled under the organ bench where I normally crawl when God gets this kind of way, you know. I might as well crawl under it because I always find myself under it anyhow. No matter where I was at in the church, when God's heavy hand came, like really got heavy, I'd always find myself under that bench sooner or later. And so I just start there. When God starts to get there, I just go over. And when the people see me under that, they, oh man, we're going to have a prayer meeting tonight. The preacher's repenting and crying out to God over there. The fear of God is in the church. Oh man, he's crawling under that bench. He don't crawl under that bench unless God has really moved on him strongly. And that night I was under the bench and we were praying and weeping and crying and worshiping God. And suddenly one of the young men from the community came running in the church. And he sat in the back pew behind one of the teenage, right next to the teenage girl. She wasn't praying. She was just kind of there. Her mother made her, you know. That's where she's kind of at. And she was dumbfounded. She looked and said, "What in the world are you doing in our church?" Because he's witchcraft, drugs and all. He said, "I knew what was going on up here." And he said, "I had to come look at it." He said, "I knew your pastor called you all to pray." He said, "Because I'm down there trying to cast spells and do our seances and whatever, and your God's messing up everything." And she said, "Well, you ought to serve my God and not your devil, because it shows you who's the big shot on the block." When a little Pentecostal church, a bunch of holy rollers, church on the other side of the tracks, get down, and there's only a few of us, but touch the heart of God, and God messes up all the plans of the devil in that community. Can you say amen? I'm talking about high praise, setting free the captive, loosening them that are bound, opening prison doors. There is power in high praise. We need to get there. Can you say amen? The last illustration, Jericho chapter 6. You will find Joshua. Jericho, not Jericho, Joshua. Chapter 6, Jericho. I am moving so fast that my eye teeth can't even see what my tongue's doing, right? Joshua chapter 6, talking about Jericho. Thank you for straightening me out. Someone has to. My wife's not here. You know the story, but let me show you the power of high praise. The battle is beyond Joshua's capability. Up to this time, God has allowed Joshua to take the formation. He's used Moses on the hill with the rod of God, but Moses is gone now. But this battle, God took personal. This battle has all of the demonic hold behind them walls. And God personally says to Joshua, "I'm going to give you the city." Can you say amen? You read it. God says to him, "This city that you see, I put in your hands." But it was still standing there. But he gives him a plan. Somebody say, God has a plan. And the plan was this. God wanted them to gradually, amen, begin to increase in their faith. And so God says, march around the walls 6 days. Six represents man's number. And as they marched around them walls, they're signifying, we're doing what we can possibly do. But God says, the seventh day is mine. Can you say amen? Somebody's marching today, marching by faith, praying by faith, raising your hands, worshiping God by faith on the sixth day. I'd like to encourage you that there's a seventh day coming. Can you say amen? There's a breakthrough coming. But you must follow the plan of God. You must follow God. God said, march around 6 days, be quiet. Don't say a word. The battle's mine. Don't add anything in there. I'll show you exactly what you're to do. Can you say amen? On the seventh day, as they marched around, hallelujah, amen, God says to Joshua, have the ram's horns in the hands of the priests and allow them to blow them ram's horns. After you marched around, and when you hear the sound of the ram's horn, then start to shout, because I've given you the city. Can you say amen? Now praise is a powerful weapon. Walls cannot stand. The enemy's kingdom must fall. Hallelujah. And so as they begin to hear the ram's horns blowing, God blowing out of a simple vessel of a ram's horn. Hallelujah. Wasn't silver, gold. It was a ram's horn. Like you and I, Paul said, this heavenly gift is in an earthen vessel. We're just an old lonely ram's horn, redeemed by God and bought by the blood of the Lamb of God. But inside of you and I is the Spirit of old Almighty God. Greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. Can you say amen? We're no match for the devil. We're no match for the spiritual power around us and all of the principalities and powers of darkness that rage in our city. But God has given you a mouth. God has made you a ram's horn. And God will lift you to a level of praise that out of your mouth will come the high praises of God. Can you say amen? And as they marched around and they heard, somebody needs to be listening. Are you listening for God? Are you listening for God? Because God says here, the ram's horn, then shout. Brother Eastman said this morning, and I don't know if he was referring to me or not, but talking about that shofar, you know, I don't know a whole lot about it. And I said to him, you need to educate me on this. Because I'm just quite not for sure. I don't know. But we have them in one of our churches. And they blew them all the time. They blew them to go to the bathroom. You know what I'm saying? And I was preaching and God spoke to me and told them, tell them to put them up for now. Because they're blowing them so much it means nothing. And then God said, call them to prayer and fasting and a solemn assembling. And I'll tell you when to blow it next. And as we prayed and fasted and called upon God, one night in a solemn assembling, as we faced this before God, praying, I was laying on the floor, and suddenly I felt the presence of the Lord, and He walked right by me. And I could sense His presence. And I heard Him say, tonight is the night. Tell her to blow it. Hallelujah. Now, I'm a pretty hard-headed guy. It takes me a lot to learn something. Amen. She took that thing out and started to blow that thing. Hallelujah. God started to break strongholds and pull walls down immediately. I say that to say this. Sometimes we get in the habit of just praising God like a poly parrot. There's nothing behind our praise. There's no substance behind it. There's no anointing behind it. If you just have praise and no prayer life and no substance behind your praise, you need a prayer life. You need a time with God. You need God to anoint your praise. Can you say amen? Your praise needs to be anointed, that it goes higher than the ceiling. Can you shout hallelujah? Our aim and goal ought to be, let this praise go to the ear of the King of Glory. Let this praise go beyond this sanctuary. Let it go beyond all them that are hearing my voice. And let it go up like the ram's horn blast to the ear of the great deliverer, that He'll come down in glory and power, and the anointed will destroy every yoke. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. See, we've gotten a habit. Glory to God, praise the Lord. Just like a poly parrot. Nothing there. The reason there's nothing there is you have no substance in your walk with God. That's why God said to us, put it up. I'm tired of hearing it when it's empty and shallow. And I'll tell you the next time. And when you do it this time, it'll be on a level of high praise. I'm talking weeks of prayer. I'm talking weeks, 2 months to that, maybe, till God said, pick it up again. And I said to them, if we don't touch God, we may never pick it up again. And I said, and it's all right if we don't, because if we don't, we're not worthy to pick it up again. Amen. I said, you've abused it and misused it, and God may not give you the opportunity to do it again. But I said, if we ever touch His heart and meet the criteria, then when we set it to our lips, we'll have a greater meaning to it. There'll be deliverance come under it. Can you say amen? Oh, wouldn't it be great if the church was on fire? Wouldn't it be great if the church lifted their hands with earnesty and genuine sincerity? Wouldn't it be great if all of our worship services were inspired by God? Our song leaders were on fire. They just didn't look at the songbook 5 minutes before church and pick out a few songs. They prayed. They sought the face of God. One thing Brother Miller used to say to me, he said, the song service, it lifts up that service to get it ready for the preacher. You're not the preacher, he'd say to me, because I lead song service in some of the 10 meetings. And he would say, you're not the preacher, shut up, sing. You know how Brother Miller was. Sister Miller would be bouncing on that organ bench. She'd sing Power in the Blood so fast, I didn't know what she's singing. And I said to her, you got to breathe somewhere. My face had turned red, blue, and all shades. And I'd whisper over to her, if you don't slow this thing down, I'm going to pass out. And then I realized that was the only way I was going to get out of leading song service that night, probably passing out. And then Brother Miller would come over, lay hands on me, and resurrect me and say, get up and sing. Enough of this playing around business. Sing. Speed her up, Mom! Huh? Glory. You know what I'm saying. You remember the glory when we used to dance around the altars for God. Do you remember the glory when praise became spontaneous and worship before God? Brother Hauske used to say this. And when before he knew our fellowship and your all's fellowship, he said when he came into Brother Larson's church in Smithport one time, he said, I have not been in the presence of God like this since A.E. Allen. I've not seen this many people dance before God since them 10 meetings. He says, this feels good. It builds an atmosphere. You may start in the flesh, but you end up in the Spirit. Can you say amen? Well, somebody said, I don't want to start in the flesh. Well, then how's your spirit jump out and dance while you're standing there? Huh? Well, I don't want to be in the flesh. Well, how you raise your hands, just your spirit raise a hand and you sit down. One old farmer in our church, he used to shout and dance in the old Berwick Revival Center. Brother Eastman, remember that place. That floor was so shaky that it bounced. Amen, praise God. And I was pretty skinny then and smaller then, you know. And he would get to shouting over here, great big old boots on. He'd come out of the farming area, man, mud everywhere, janitor have a fit. Amen, so suspenders, he'd be shouting. He'd be shouting and dancing. And while he's dancing, I'd be on the platform and I'd be literally going like this. Because the floor would be bouncing with the man. And I'd be by. I'd be grabbing a hold of something. I'd grab a whole chair. And the feet of the chair go around. Oh, whether I wanted to dance or not. And we had an old lady in the church. She felt she was the judge of the whole universe. You know? She came walking up to him one night, tapping on his shoulder, and he's dancing away, and she's tapping. She's just a little thing. This man's 450 pounds. He finally stops and says, can I help you, Mama? You're in the flesh. He said, you know it all, 450 pounds of me. How can I not be in the flesh? To be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord. And I'm having a good time, Mama. Go back and sit down. And he got to clogging again, man. He'd do like a spiritual clog dance, you know. You know them people. We used to have a man get happy. He got to shout like an Indian. Woo! Like a warhound. Woo! Huh? People get the hanky. Spirit of God move on people. Then the Spirit of God, it just gets stronger and stronger and stronger. And God will lift that service to to the level that He wanted it. Because God has something in the heavenlies to do. God don't just come to church to come to church. God don't just come to sit in a pew. God don't come just to get a Sunday button, a Sunday school button, or be put on the roll. Hallelujah. God comes because He's God. And there's a spiritual battle that needs to be done and war in the heavenlies. And the body is you. He's the head, but you're the body. And He's desiring to use you in a spiritual way. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. So, well, I might be starting in the flesh, but as long as you end up in the spirit, it's all right. Somebody say it's all right. It's all right to worship God. It's all right to praise God. It's all right. I'm not going to start with high praise immediately. It comes. It comes. Hallelujah. Don't ask me when, how, and sometimes why it does and why it don't. I don't understand that. But God knows what He's doing. And when God inspires, and that praise goes beyond my natural, it's just beyond my ability. Now God has come upon me, and this thing is bigger than me. Hallelujah. Then I need to obey God. Whether I'm the pastor or whether I'm just a pew sitter, I need to obey God. Decent and in order. I don't need to disrupt things, but I need to be decent and in order. Hallelujah. But I need to obey God. Can you say amen? The reason why it looks so awkward and the reason why it looks so strange is because there's very few doing it now. Can you say amen? Years ago, more did it, and the less that didn't do it were the outcasts. Now we're the ones that look like the outcast, but let God be God. Can you say amen? Is there anybody in here that will praise Him, that will worship Him like He's worthy to be worshipped? We join heaven, for heaven is singing and shouting, and the cherubims are crying, holy, holy, holy. Let the redeemed of the Lord, let the church of the living God join and unison with the heavenly choir. Lord, send high praise. Stand your feet. Lift your hands. Give God glory. Give God praise. Come on all across here. Praise Him like He's worthy. Praise Him like He's worthy. Praise Him like He deserves. Give Him glory. Give Him praise. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Let God use your praise. Come on, come on, come on, Lord. Give me a song. Give me praise. Give me worship. When you lift your hands, you surrender. When you lift your hands, you surrender. You bring yourself under His Lordship. When you worship God, you are closer to Him than ever in that worship. Hallelujah. You were created for His pleasure. You were created for His worship. He created you. He desires all that have breath to praise the Lord. Come on. Do what God created you to do. Do what God created you to do. Lift your hands and worship God and offer to God a sacrifice of praise all across this sanctuary. Let Him put high praise in your mouth. Let Him use you as a vessel. Oh, you're just a lowly ram horn, but the breath of God through you. The inspiration of God through you moves the hand of God to destroy every fetter, every chain of the enemy. The sweetest music this side of heaven is the praises of God's children. No music, no nothing to stir you, nothing to entertain you, just pure worship. Just come on, can you just purely worship Him right now? Can you just purely, well, I need music. Well, then you need to grow up. Oh, well, I need something to stimulate me. Well, then you need to fill with the Holy Spirit. Let God, come on, offer to God nothing but a pure worship out of your heart and out of your mouth. Nothing external. This comes from me, Lord. I love you. I adore you. I praise 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 you. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Offer it to God. You're already tired. You already can't. Offer it to God. Offer it to God today. Teach me to praise You. Teach me to worship. Teach me to get higher. Teach me, Lord. Lift me to this level. Oh, God. Put high praise in my mouth. Oh, Lord. Worship Him. Worship Him today. Worship Him, worship Him, worship Him. Worship Him today. Oh, I love You, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship You. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what You hear. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ears. Sing it to Him. I love You, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship You. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what You hear. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ear. I love You, Lord. Sing it to Him now. And I lift. Oh, sing it to Him. To worship You, Lord. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Well, take joy, my King, in what You hear. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ear. Sing it again. I love You, Lord. Somebody love Him today. And I... Somebody lift your voice to Him to worship You. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Well, take joy, my King, in what You hear. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in Your ear.